You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry. President Bush accused Russia of bullying and intimidation against Georgia, saying that the people in the former Soviet Republic chose freedom and that, quote, we will not cast them aside, end quote. These are statements that he made earlier this morning on the White House grounds as he's on his way to go back to his Texas ranch. We are going to talk about some more words that were exchanged today. We're waiting to hear from Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who'll be speaking soon in the Republic of Georgia. And just not that long ago, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev and German Chancellor Angela Merkel spoke after their own talks. And we're going to go now to London, where Jonathan Marcus, one of the diplomatic correspondents at our world partner, the BBC, is going to tell us what they said. Jonathan?
Well, I think quite uncompromising words from the Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, making it crystal clear that in his view, and the Russians have said this before, Georgia and South Ossetia, the two separatist enclaves in Georgia, are not going to go back to Georgian control anytime soon. The Russians clearly are sticking to that point. Interestingly, alongside him, Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, made it clear that the territorial integrity of Georgia was, as she put it, a basic point in any peace plan, very much echoing the American president's words. So clearly a standoff there. Russian President Mr. Medvedev also making it clear that the recently signed deal between Poland and the United States on missile defenses was, as he put it, a decision that was clearly aimed against the Russian Federation.
You know, with these latest comments, with the Chancellor of Germany siding with President Bush, it almost feels as if there are seams opening up all over Europe.
Well, there are seams opening up. I think in the broad sense that the Europeans abhor what the Russians have done and support, obviously, the territorial integrity of Georgia, and they clearly support, as Angela Merkel stressed again today, Georgia's aspiration to join NATO. I think there are still very great divisions within Europe on exactly what should be done, both in the short term, just to get the Russians out of Georgia, but also in the longer term, what this really means for relations between Russia and the West. And I think we've seen some of those tensions already at the meeting of European Union foreign ministers the other day. There'll be a meeting of NATO foreign ministers next week, Tuesday, in Brussels. I think we're going to see some differences there as well. But of course, on the basic point that the Russians need to get out of Georgia and shouldn't be behaving in this way, there is clearly unanimity.
You mentioned the U.S. Polish missile deal, to putting the U.S. missile base, the battery, in Poland. Just earlier this morning, there was a senior Russian defense official who said that this act cannot go unpunished. The phrase saber-rattling comes to mind, but this rhetoric keeps ratcheting up.
Well, the rhetoric is ratcheting up. I think part of the problem is that clearly the Russians are strongly in position on the ground in Georgia. There isn't much that's going to shift them until they decide to pull back their forces. So the options open to the Americans and to the wider Western community, the Europeans and NATO, are relatively limited. Now, I think we've seen one step by the U.S. president. I mean, clearly he's sent Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, to Tbilisi, where she is now, the Georgian capital. Very noticeably, she hasn't gone to Moscow. We've seen the American aid flights of humanitarian aid into Georgia. Very strong rhetorical statements. Now the signing of this deal with Poland on missile defense. So it doesn't look as though the Bush administration's policy towards Russia is going to necessarily change change in a way that the Russians would like to see. I think what this whole affair is going to do, it's going to push Russia and relations with Moscow much higher up the foreign policy agenda in the presidential race. It's relations with Moscow are going to be a key problem for the next U.S. president, whichever of the contenders wins the White House.
You know, we are so focused on what's happening right there on the ground, but if you, because of Your work as a diplomatic correspondent elsewhere in the world. How does this make them apprehensive? What are their observations? China, Pakistan, India, certainly they have a stake in all of this.
Well, it's paradoxical in a way, because, I mean, countries like China, for example, and generally speaking, Russia, are very strong supporters of national sovereignty. They don't like it when the West says, look, we perhaps ought to intervene here. We ought to bring pressure to bear on governments about what they're doing inside their own countries, because the Russians, the Chinese and others are always very strong supporters of national sovereignty. Now, in the case of Georgia, this is clearly not Russia's position. Russia, no doubt, would argue that it is merely following on from the West's example in Kosovo, when the West backed Kosovo's independence, allowed it to secede from Serbia, something at the time which the Russians warned would have consequences. So I think, you know, when the Russians make these warnings, they're serious. It's not just empty words. I think they have limitations. They can do this sort of thing in their near abroad, as they call it, in what you guys, I suppose, would call Russia's backyard. What they can do more broadly is very hard to see.
All right, Jonathan, it's always delightful to hear a diplomatic correspondent for the BBC use the phrase, you guys. Thank you so much.
We all speak the same language. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. That Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for the BBC News, one of our partners. And, of course, Adora, we're going to keep following this story.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.